grace, mercy, peace. They're yours from God our Father through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. That song was actually a very fitting entry for this, because the title for today is Honored by God. And the point is, if we want to be honored by God and to be honorable in His name, it's going to take humility. And that's not an easy pill to swallow for many of us. I've always had to fight that. I've always had to. And the only way I could do it is concentrate on team ministry, delegating to other people, and recognizing that God is going to use me in spite of who I am, not because of who I am. So it fell to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, as a prophet, had a very difficult task. You see, the remnant, the good guys, if you will, of the southern kingdom were carried away into captivity. God said, you're going to spend some time there and you're going to think about what got you here. In the meantime, Jeremiah stayed at home, back in the temple, in Jerusalem, with the troublemakers, the ones who had hard hearts. He preached for some 30 years. And do you know how many converts he got? People who really would acknowledge the Lord and humble themselves? Zero. Nada. Zip. And yet Jeremiah spoke. And he was faithful as he spoke God's words. We call it prophecy. Now, prophecy is not foretelling the future. Prophecy is delivering a specific word of God to a specific group of people for a specific situation at a specific time. And prophecy oftentimes was what we call messianic. It pointed ahead. It didn't just catch the people where they are and what was going on in their lives. It pointed them ahead to God's promise of the Savior in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. It became a threefold way. Prophecy that dealt, number one, with where they were at the time, the people to whom it was spoken. Number two, it pointed ahead to Christ and what would be the day as He came. Number three, it pointed to you and me in our lives here and now today as we wait for the day of resurrection, for Christ's return at the last day. Prophecy, humility. And as we go with Jeremiah, he had a lot that made him humble. If you looked at that first part of the reading that Teddy read to us, he talked about, I feel like a lamb being led to the slaughter. That's how people were treating him. They made fun of him. Some days they would tie him up and say, well, let's see how long he feels good about talking about God this way. Some days they'd get bored and they'd say, well, let's go down to the temple and hear what the prophet has to say. It was an entertainment for them. Have you ever had a day where you felt like a lamb being led to the slaughter? A day where nothing was going right? And somebody, for some reason, was just out to make you miserable. And it didn't have to be on the highway. It could be at the office. Unfortunately, it could also be at your home with your family or the friends that you're with. Jeremiah didn't know it, but he was prophesying. A lamb to the slaughter is exactly what would happen with his Savior later. we move to Mark. This is where Jesus, in Mark chapter 9, is talking to the disciples. And he says, by the way, don't forget, guys, the Son of Man is going to suffer and die and rise in 3 days. And in our vernacular today, it would be, say what? You know, things were going pretty well for them at the time. The scripture says they did not understand what he was saying. They're not stupid. There's not a cloud that's put over their faces. It's just, it did not make sense to them. How can someone who does all these magnificent works, healings, teaching, all the things that he does, he's not going to die? And the idea of a resurrection, they certainly didn't get that. But that's what has to happen. Because Jesus had to die for you and for me. He had to shed his blood. He had to go through his suffering. He had to go through that death because that was the sacrifice for your sins and for mine. It was also the sacrifice for all the people who have ever lived in the past and for all the people who have yet to live. The price is paid for all, not just for some. And we'll get to that in a little bit because what's going to put a smile on those people's faces? It's got to be Jesus. But how is it going to get there? Which bounces us back to Jeremiah once more. That last verse is one people like to skip over. Lord, let your vengeance, and he goes on with this, and he talks about by God's vengeance, he, Jeremiah, will be honored. And God will be honored. Vengeance is a tricky word in the Hebrew. Hebrew has far fewer words in its vocabulary than Greek or certainly English. And the word for vengeance does not mean God will get even with you. God's going to throw a lightning bolt. No. This one, in this situation, is more like the picture, I'm going to use the word, God sets things aright. A-R-I-G-H-T. And the best picture I may be able to give you is that of a naval vessel that has capsized. And they have to do, it takes a superhuman effort to get it turned and back up aright to where it can be used again. Sometimes it's raised from the bottom of the ocean. Sometimes it's been on its side, like in Pearl Harbor. Sometimes it's like a sailboat that you've been on and you went out and a gust of wind just blew you down. David, you probably windsurf. And if you're going along and suddenly a gust of wind hits it, boom, you're face down in the water, right? God sets things aright. And that's what Jeremiah is asking for. He didn't know it was going to take 70 years total. He didn't know if anybody would ever respond. But Jeremiah knew he had to be faithful and keep speaking God's word to these people. And that's going to bring us finally back to Mark 9 for the last time. Because you see, there oftentimes we, the redeemed people of God who have been baptized, who know Christ, who have been born again in Him, find ourselves like the disciples arguing about among ourselves about who's the greatest. It's like a football team that's behind 42-7 and there's some guy that's running along going, he's putting one in there. He's the guy that only scored the touchdown to make 7 points. You're not number one. If you want to give credit, if you want to give honor, start it with God. So that everything we say and everything we do begins with that as our motivation, our impetus, our ability by the power of His Spirit working through us. You see, there's no telling what God can do through you and me. If He can use me, He can use anyone. And He's already worked for us to make us His own saved children. And He's already worked on us to change our lives. And so now Mark 9. Jesus says to the disciples, by the way, what were you arguing about? Zip, nobody says a word. I'm not going to rat us out. And He says, tell you what. And He calls a child forward. And He takes that child and He puts the child on His lap. And He says, this is what makes up the kingdom of heaven. People like this, trusting, faithful, willing to love. I asked the kids to draw pictures for me before. Last one I held up was a little different. What did it have on it? Smile. I'd like you now to put up that fourth picture. This is a sculpture. I'm not trying to pick on this guy and make him go back into business, but I was privileged to talk Greg Nelson into letting me buy this from him for my wife's birthday. And it's the sculpture of Jesus and the little children. I want you to look at that and tell me, what's unique about it? What? Laughing. Who's laughing? Kids are. Who else? Jesus. You know, the Bible never says that Jesus laughed. The Bible also never says that He went to the bathroom. But He is the first Adam for you and me. Everything that a human experienced, He experienced except without sin. And I love this because I can picture Him holding that child and smiling. And I love this because the laughter is so evident. It is not just laughter, it is joy. Absolute joy. And that is how we honor God. Years ago when you were at camp, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Well, yeah, all right, you remember that. We've advanced a little bit in modern music, haven't we, Jody? Thankfully. But that joy is what makes the difference, because that joy will carry you through the times when people want to throw you in a well, when they want to cut you off in traffic, when your family is being unreasonable, when you cannot make sense out of anything that's going on in your life, but you know one thing. You are a child of Jesus Christ, and He loves you dearly. And He laughs when He sees you. Not at you, but because of His love for you. Remember that as a congregation. You're going through the process of calling a pastor now. The absolute opposite of this is what we read in the book of James, where people were, they were mean to one another. They were so insistent on getting their own way. He's even said, you murder by your thoughts. You're unreasonable. You don't see any of that right here. And that's because this is honoring God. I ask you, brothers and sisters, Honor him with your hearts. The hearts that he bought, that he paid for, that he purchased through his life, death, and sealed with his resurrection. The proof that the Father accepted that sacrifice. Honor him. And you will be honored with his joy of salvation. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you love us the way you do. Some days I wonder why you love me. But I know you do. Thank you for being patient with me and with the rest of us as you shape us, the men and women and children that you want us to be by your Holy Spirit. Use us for your purpose, for the expansion of your kingdom, so that those who do not yet have that joy can hear it and see it and receive it through us. Let your word move us and your spirit guide us. Amen. Now, my friends in Christ, may that peace of God which passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.